podcast brought to you by the Triad Network. This podcast is designed to share trending topics occurring within the world and our communities and bring them a behavioral and mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavioral Health Today, a Triad production. I'm Dr. Graham Taylor. The mental health field is such an exciting field to be a part of and one that meaningfully contributes to people's lives. Personally, having access to my professional community has made this an additionally enriching profession. Accessing my community, though, has typically been done through my state local association, and connection with my colleagues has been so helpful professionally as we tend to post local job openings, get questions answered about licensure, learn about local resources, and get introduced to new topics that are trending here at a local level. But what if we, as mental health practitioners, could, in addition to having our state organizations, have a network that provided us national access to and connection with our colleagues, as well as a larger exposure to numerous services and areas of importance to us as practitioners? How cool would that be? Having a network focused both on helping people help people and providing a space for practitioners to come together. Well, this is the mission of Triad's network and the focus of our podcast today. I'm so excited to have with me on today's podcast, Triad CEO Brandon Jones and Oliver Lubin, Triad's Chief Product and Technology Officer. Brandon has 20 years of experience in education and ed tech, business leadership, and people development. Before coming to Triad, Brandon spent nearly two decades at Kaplan Test Prep, starting his career as an SAT teacher and working his way up to become the president of Kaplan's Test Prep's largest operating unit. Oliver comes to Triad with over 20 years of creative marketing and product experience. And prior to joining Triad, Oliver co-founded ThreadUp.com, the largest online resale and thrift store. Well, Brandon, Oliver, welcome to the show. Nice to have you guys here.
Thanks, Graham. I'm excited to be here. Excited to be here with you, Oliver, and talk a little bit about the Triad Network today.
Thanks, Graham. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you both here. And Brandon, happy birthday. Today's your birthday. Nice to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's so funny with the magic of recording. When people are listening to this, it won't actually be my birthday. I'll be some number of weeks older, but it is, as we are recording live, my birthday. Thank you very much.
Nice, guys. Well, hey, you know, we want to kind of dive into more about the exciting opportunities that the professionals can experience through the Triad Network. But first, Brandon, if you would, kind of give us an overview of the Triad Network, please.
Sure, of course. The Triad Network is a hub, in a word, for education, community, and career resources, specifically for behavioral and mental health professionals. I like to say that we are unapologetically niche. It's for behavioral mental health professionals, not for oncologists or radiologists or lawyers or product managers. And we think that because we are so focused on serving this niche community, we can do so particularly well. So yeah. I'm sure we'll talk more about this later in the conversation, Graham. But in short, on Triad, you can make connections to your colleagues, exactly what you're talking about at the top of the show here, and also engage with trending content, find the continuing education resources that you need to meet your licensing requirements, search for jobs, and explore products and services offered by our partners. So nice. While we're not trying to have something for everyone, again, unapologetically so, we think we can have most things for someone's, particularly the someone's in behavior mental health.
Really good. You know, I want to kind of jump into those in a little bit more depth later, as you mentioned in the show, just so we can give folks a sense of what they have access to and opportunity for. But I'm curious, in its development, I know that Triad has its origin in test prep. But I was curious, as you came in and you're thinking about kind of this behavioral health community, what were some of the trends or areas of need that you were seeing within the behavioral health field that led to the idea of the Triad Network in its conception?
Yeah, I'll say again, and Oliver, I'm interested in your take on this too. You're part of the origin story as far as I'm concerned here, frankly. But I'll start with the legacy that you mentioned, Graham, that the Triad operates for exam prep and continuing education brands in behavioral mental health. There isn't a quiz on this later, but I'll still say letters and words at you. So we operate AATBS, Academic Review, Jerry Grossman Seminars, and Taylor Study Method, which you may know something about, Graham. You're the Taylor in that Taylor. And we've been serving the behavioral mental health professional market through those brands for over 45 years, but doing so in a pretty thin slice of services, really just education, exam prep, and continuing education. When I got here 2 years ago, as you mentioned, after coming from Kaplan, I talked to a lot of professionals in this market, as you can imagine I would have and should have and did. And I realized that there wasn't a place where they could go, one place where they could go to access all of the education and career resources they needed. And And also, I might know, different than how technology has been serving the medical population, so their colleagues who are MDs, I think have gotten more sort of technology forward services for them than the behavioral mental health profession has. And so I saw there was an opportunity to serve this market, this specific niche market, in a way that was community focused, education and career enabling, and technology driven in a way that I think no one else really was doing at the time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I so appreciate you doing this, being a practitioner myself. The mental health field, in large part, is a very isolated practitioner. You kind of, you know, you hang your shingle and you come in and you do your day, and then you kind of go home at night. And oftentimes, even if you're in a group practice or in a hospital practice, like I've been, you're still kind of coming in saying good morning and you're saying good night as you leave. And there's not a whole lot of interaction oftentimes. And so having a hub like this and having a place where we can connect with each other and also learning things that, you know, when you're in your day-to-day, you may not have much access to if you're not around other colleagues. Being able to see these things really allows us to come together in some pretty unique ways. I really like that. Oliver, I know that you've been, as Brandon just kind of intimated there, you've been so instrumental in the planning of this network. Give us a sense of what you were wanting to create for professionals as you engaged in those early conversations and in the brainstorming sessions around this resource.
It's interesting that you mentioned the isolation or the kind of like soloness of practice. And I think, I don't know if that's a byproduct necessarily of the type of work, whereas other doctors are talking to other doctors during the day and support staff. Most mental health professionals that I've spoken with, it's just them. And they work with the patient and then it's on to the next patient and there isn't a team necessarily. Yeah. But oddly enough, there's this like isolation that kind of happens in practice, but a community or kind of a connectiveness and a wanting to learn and wanting to connect with other people, which is what you do on a daily basis with your patients, that naturally mental health professionals seem to want to do with each other, where they have this natural affinity for other folks, and whether it's by way of small groups that they have in their town or friends that they know or colleagues from previous practices, those connections are important. Yes. The problem is that it's not necessarily easy to do. Everybody's super busy. And I think we saw an opportunity to facilitate those connections. I think also when we then started to see COVID hitting, it was kind of fortuitous or not fortuitous, but like we had been planning this stuff. And then we also saw this kind of acceleration of the soloness that we all experienced, where everybody was feeling kind of isolated. Yeah. And it seemed like a perfect opportunity to build a way for people to connect.
Yeah, I think you had a really, you said it so well. I think, and I love that sensitivity to that need and that relational desire to be in, I mean, we're relational professional. That's what we do and that's what we love doing. But the flip side of it, the converse side of it, that is that we are kind of isolated in a day-to-day basis. Again, unless you're in a group practice or some kind of community practice. And so having that access to those groups in that way is pretty cool. I know I've heard that professionals in the network kind of describe it as the Facebook for mental health professionals. Tell me a little bit about what you've experienced or heard from those folks giving that kind of feedback.
Yeah, we've heard Facebook of mental health, LinkedIn for mental health. I think the interesting thing is that most folks think of these social networks as just social, like sharing stuff. I think what we found is that the driving force here was sharing value with each other and mutual assistance, mutual support, commiseration, and or just, you know, sharing ways that you could relax and recharge. You know, that's one of the groups that we have. And we wanted to make sure that folks used the network and used the platform however they wanted to. So we really tried to make sure it was not rigid. And I think what we found is that people are still exploring where those edges are and exactly what type of information they want to share, whether it's research that they've been reading or an interesting case that they have been hearing about or some problem that they're personally having and just want to talk about it or just sharing great stories that they find. I think it's kind of been growing organically.
That's really good.
I would just jump in to add also the distinction we're trying to draw between a Facebook or a LinkedIn. Those are good analogs in as much as they're social networks, but they intend to be, they aspire to be something for everyone.
That's right.
Right. And so what we're trying to do with creating the LinkedIn for Behavior Mental Health in Triad is have something that is specific to Behavior Mental Health. LinkedIn, as an example, is 700 million users. Like LinkedIn's doing just fine. But we talk to a lot of psychologists, social workers, marriage and family therapists, counselors, et cetera. And they are on LinkedIn, but they don't use it because it's not content that's super relevant to them. Right. It's very business focused or more increasingly more sort of politicized. And we wanted to have a place where, not that, you know, people can only be interested in their professional field, obviously, but for that, those professional interests, we wanted to provide a place to go to serve up trending relevant content that is going to be material and specific to this set of professionals.
And yeah, I appreciate that piece. It's not just, it's something very specific and very intentional. And Brandon, maybe what you can do is maybe share with us how the network is laid out and some of the features that one can come in and access through this Triad community.
Yeah, sure. So I touched on this briefly earlier, but there are essentially five main things to do on Triad. So one is connect with your colleagues. So we have, to provide a little more color on each of these, we have many thousands of people active in the network. We have many hundreds of thousands of people who've had a touch with one of the commercial test prep and continuing education brands I mentioned earlier, and they're there. There's a way to make those connections. The second is engaging with trending content, whether that you're posting it or just reading it, consuming it. If you just like to browse, you are welcome to join. A third is to access education, so test prep and continuing education. Those are available through Triad. Fourth, we have a bunch of partners, so dozen plus partners who offer their own products and services. You know, we think that to really serve this market, we don't have to provide every piece of value. We can be an aggregator of other services and a way to find other services and get, in many cases, exclusive discounts on those products and services through Triad. And then five of five, the last one on the list, is to look for jobs. So full-time, part-time, gig time, there's something there for you to do with your time. We have thousands of jobs from our employer partners that are open today. So all five of those are available, and not any person would need to do all five at once, but hopefully over the course of her career, she can continue to come back for Triad to derive value from, you know, any number of those sort of dimensions.
So I wanted to add one more thing that I think we may have missed in the beginning of the conversation, which is students. Because we keep talking about professionals, and the professionals are certainly the large group of actors and participants in all of this. Yet the students, what we're seeing now is a growing trend of pre-licensed professionals engaging with professionals, engaging with the community, engaging with each other in kind of this sequential type thing where we believe, and I believe actually, that long-term, this community will actually start to see the mentorship or the collective mentorship and kind of how do I, and can I talk to a peer or can I talk to a professional out there that is about to go through the thing that I think I'm about to go through?
Yeah.
And what can I learn? And we're seeing that students are going to find their own little niches within here, because ultimately they have the same questions and there are people in here who have probably gone through what they're going through that can answer them.
Yeah, I really like that feature. It's hard being a student in the mental health field sometimes. It feels even isolated there. And to be able to have kind of a community to go and say, hey, here's some questions I've got, or is someone open to give me some feedback on? So let me go back over that piece. So this network is made for marriage and family therapists, social workers, mental health counselors, psychologists, our behavioral analyst colleagues, students, pre-licensed professionals in the mental health field, licensed and certified healthcare professionals in the mental health field, schools, mental health professional organizations, and as you both were just talking about, and I'm going to ask you to come back to this a bit here, Brandon, employers who are part of our network here. It is a really well-planted group of people that have an opportunity to really come in here and have some great access to things. as you're talking, Oliver, I was curious, maybe just name a few of your favorite offerings in the Triad Network. What do you find yourself kind of particularly liking?
There's a few things that I'm excited about building, and there's a few things that I'm excited that we have.
Tell me.
So of the things that I'm excited that we have, I really like the fact that we have profiles, or in the process of building out additional profiles that really articulate the specific nature and call out the industry specific terms and qualifications and experience that mental health professionals have, using the kind of terms that this industry is familiar with, where other platforms really just don't have that level of detail. I think that gives people an opportunity to really express their individual approach. And I really want to make sure that everybody feels like they themselves as an individual are best represented within our profile and our professional network and the list of professionals that you can see. I think there are a lot of other features and functionality that I'm excited about, licensing assistance and how to leverage your license in more states, helping people figure out how to qualify based on information they probably didn't even know existed, or opportunities like SciPac, for example, that I've learned a little bit about recently. And I'm also excited about the idea of actually giving people a credential identity. So maybe even just providing badges for people and a visual representation of their qualifications that they can, you know, represent elsewhere, perhaps, or that allow them to kind of stand out within the group of people that all have their own things. But it's just a nice way to give people something a little bit more tangible, a little bit more visual, a little bit more eye-catching, a little bit more personal.
Yeah, really good. Really
I would add, Graham and Oliver, that I'm excited that it's free. I don't know if we've said that yet, but free for professionals to join. There's a lot of value to be provided and extracted, but I think that's an important feature, and I'm excited to be able to provide that to this market, to this audience, to these professionals as a free resource.
You know, I remember a professor that I had, he talked about, you know, why you need to make, you know, a living in this field. He said, you know, give away what you've got and watch the return that comes and the community that gets built. Those are my very earliest, most influential professors along the way. And I love that that's kind of the heart in the mission behind what this community gets to do for folks. I mean, as I was, you know, I'm a member as well. And I look at those things around law and ethics, some of the telehealth therapy, mindfulness. There's some kind of cool little side gigs that I see and read about. And I love the recommended readings. There's so many things to read, but it's fun sometimes when an organization that you trust kind of whittles down some really cool little recommendations for reading as well. And as you guys are talking about, people go on there, guys, you're going to see just a plethora of groups you can be a part of. One of the things we talked about was the jobs marketplace. Brandon, I'd like you to kind of expand that a little bit. There's two parts of it. Practitioners looking for employment, and also those organizations that are looking for qualified practitioners. So talk a little bit about that part.
Yeah, I'll cover both. So if you're a professional looking for work, and I used this phrase before, but full-time, part-time, or gig time, and increasingly gig opportunities, I think are going to become more prevalent in this space and really all spaces, Triad has a role for you. It's pretty simple. So you log into your Triad account, which again is free, and you click over to Jobs Marketplace, and you can search jobs, and Oliver mentioned this just a little bit ago, with industry-specific terms. So not just by location and what license they're looking for, but also by, you know, employment, time, full-time, part-time, et cetera, whether they're remote or on-site or hybrid, diagnoses, issues, age groups, and more. So you can find something that is specific to your skills and interests.
Yeah.
And it may be that, you know, you've worked with some population, you never want to work with that population again. So you can look for something that's, you know, that's not in your background, but in your foreground, in your future. And then when you find a job that interests you, you click through to, there's a button that says view details. You click through that, you'll be taken directly to the company's site. And I think that's important. It's not like you need to fill out an application on the jobs marketplace and you're doing double work. You're applying directly to those companies through their sites. So essentially Triad is just serving to connect employers with professionals who are looking for them. So we have more than 1,000 open jobs today. We've got more coming online every month. If you're looking for anything that's next or is an add-on to what you're doing today, there is something for you at Triad. The other direction, sort of employers looking for prospective professionals, is our employers log into their jobs marketplace portal. And they're looking for professionals using those same criteria. So not just location and licensure, but diagnoses, issues, age groups, et cetera. We've got over 150,000 professionals who are in the jobs marketplace database. And then when they find someone or someone's who they invite them to apply to a job, that sends an email into that professional's inbox, the application, if the professional's interest, goes back to the company's website. We want this to be easy. We want this to be friction-free. Yeah. The application process, the entirety of the application process, is not particularly easy in many cases, as folks know, but we want this part to be easy.
We'll be right back after word from our sponsor.
Are you preparing for a licensure exam in psychology, social work, marriage and family therapy, counseling, or behavioral analysis? AATBS is here to help. We have been supporting behavioral and mental health students to prepare for their licensure exams for more than 45 years, working with over 1 million students to succeed on test day and move on to the next step in their career. With products ranging from comprehensive courses to quiz banks and delivered live online, self-study online, and in print, AATBS has test prep solutions that meet every student's needs and learning styles. Visit us today at aatbs.com. That's aatbs.com. And use promo code BHT15 to save 15% off your next purchase.
Earlier, Oliver, you were talking about how this is applicable and really user-friendly for students and pre-licensed folks as well. You know, coming up in the careers and maybe kind of seeing what's out in the field, looking at the jobs marketplace, gives them a sense of, hey, employment is possible. This is a field that, according to the, you know, the labor boards, this is the field that's growing from 20 to 25% over the upcoming years. So it's really blossoming. And we see so many things in our nation right now that need some mental health healing for us to come together in a more and more united way. And I love the fact that the students that are getting licensed, that are coming out, have a one-stop place to see that, hey, there is a hope for me to pay back my, you know, my student loans. There's a place for me to get some employment and for me to really have a very, very meaningful career take place. You know, you're talking about partners and guys, give me a sense in terms of the individual professionals, as well as professional organizations and companies and partners that have partnered and integrated with the Triad Network thus far.
Yeah, I'll jump in and Oliver, you can add some color. You know, I mentioned we have thousands of active professionals in the network. We have 150,000 plus people in the database. And that is really the heartbeat of the community. You know, this is a community of professionals, but it's not just professionals. You mentioned this in the list earlier, Graham, you know, students and universities and organizations and employers. We've had at this point, you know, dozens of employers join the network looking for those professionals. As an aside, talking with some of our partners, workforce is the number one issue that behavioral mental health employers cite as being critical for their success coming forward, not surprisingly. And again, we think we can do something to help there. We've had a handful of organizations who are now using Triad essentially as their intranet, so a place to pull together that conversation and bring people together. It's a service they don't then need to support themselves. We do it for them for free. We have over 200 university partners. So again, based on our legacy in exam prep and continuing education, we have these long and deep relationships and rich relationships with our partners in this space and are onboarding more to the platform literally every day.
Yeah, that's really good. If I could give one shout out to those of you listening, regardless of what license you have, MFT, mental health counselor, social work, psychologist, behavioral health analysis, if I could encourage you to contact your professional organization in your state to be a part of this network, again, it's free. We got a chance to work with the Hawaii Psychological Association, where I work here in Hawaii. We had a chance to begin to kind of cut our teeth on this, getting into the professional organizations on a statewide basis. And these are some great opportunities for those in a state community, and also for the students, going back to what Oliver's saying, going back to the students that are going through school, pre-licensed folks in that state, to really become a part of a larger community very early on, and some great services for the state organization to offer to their membership within their state. So I think that's a pretty cool opportunity. Hey, Oliver, I'm curious, as you're looking down the road and with your creative mind and all the things you do, what's next for the Triad Network, and where do you want to see this growth going?
So in the simplest form, I think that the goal is to make it very easy for mental health professionals, which is to provide the care that they are experienced in providing. When I was talking with one of our contacts recently, she said to me, I just want to show up. I just want to show up and help people.
Yeah.
And that's really telling. There's a lot of overhead, both mental activity, all this other stuff. And what we really want is to allow mental health professionals to spend as much of the time as they can actually delivering care.
Yeah.
So I think that's been a force in a lot of the things that we've been talking about. So we've been looking at license assistant, which I mentioned before. How do we help people navigate what it's like to obtain a license for the first time ever, or for them to obtain a license out of state in a neighboring state? How do they maintain the license? What are the requirements for CEs? What are the requirements for specific state-based CEs as opposed to their state? Teletherapy laws and changing rules related to COVID. All of that stuff is out there, but it's all over the place. And we have talked about how, as a hub, we think there's an opportunity here to kind of centralize the truth and provide a resource for folks to come and find. So that's just one kind of macro area. Some specific things in there are, you know, gig jobs, for example. A lot of people love their jobs, but there is demand for their expertise out there from startups and other resources that are looking for folks that want to spend a little extra time on demand providing assistance. And there's a lot of companies out there that are looking to hire. So, you know, giving people an opportunity to find jobs that give them a little side money. Qualified supervision. How can we help people that are qualified supervisors connect with people who are looking for supervision? You know, one of the other folks we were talking to said, you go through all this time getting qualified as a supervisor, and then it's taken a long enough time that you don't actually have all the context you had before to make it easy to then put that qualified supervision qualification to use. And so we want to try and accelerate and facilitate that because we have the right group of people. We've got mental health professionals and students that are about to enter the workforce. That's exactly where those two things sit. And we've also been talking about a lot of other things, like all of the other pieces that, you know, as soon as you are licensed, what happens? Well, okay, I need to understand, what's it like to be an individual solo practitioner versus joining a group practice or joining a network? What's it like? What do I need to do to start my own practice? Is there practice management software or, you know, billing, online scheduling, all of those things? How can we facilitate the simplicity and the success of individual mental health professionals?
Yeah, I love that idea, that ease of use. And you guys are really talking about how can we help facilitate one's practice, freeing them up to do the things that they've been trained and love to do.
To make things easier for someone life-wise as well. Oliver mentioned the license assistant. If I can share my own sort of personal vignette here or professional vignette from talking to people in this space, we were talking to a woman who's a clinical director of a set of practices in Pennsylvania, and one of her social workers came to her and met a guy online who lives in Alaska, fell in love and was planning to move out to Alaska, but didn't know how she could practice with her social work license in Alaska. And the clinical director was sharing about the reciprocity rules, and she needed this research. And the process was so daunting that she decided not to move. She called it off. And, you know, like, so there's like a little bit of, this is not just a professional connection, it's a love connection that we're enabling, but this is hard. And we just want to make the hard stuff, the stuff that's trivially hard, because working with people is hard. Like the actual work is hard work, but the administrivia around it, it shouldn't be. And so I really think we can help give people a little bit of their life back and allow them to let their life interests inform their professional interests and not have their professional interests constrain their life.
Yeah, I love that idea, that ease of use and making their practices effective, efficient. And I like that what you're intimating as well is that these are resources that one can use and apply through the life of their practice. It's kind of taken them from, you know, the cradle to their retirement and everything in between. So it is profoundly thorough. Well, as we're talking about this way and Oliver, you're kind of sharing some of what you're seeing come up. Brandon, for you as a CEO, you know, looking, you know, let's say 5 years from now, what do you want to see? Anything in addition?
Yeah, I mean, I've thoughts. I spend a good amount of my time sort of casting my eyes a little further out on the horizon. Although I will say 5 years is a long time. I'll go with it though. 5 years from now, I hope we have a vibrant and big community of behavioral mental health professionals finding the resources, the education community and career resources that they need to do what they do best.
Yeah.
It's just what Oliver said, you know, just serving the community. If I could personally take some really big swings here, I would love Triad to play at least some small part along two additional dimensions. So one is to increase equity and access by providing valuable resources for free to everyone, including underserved populations.
Yeah,
that's personally important to me. And I think there is an opportunity at our scale to have some impact there. And then two, to inspire more people to seek a career in behavioral mental health by helping hear the stories and learning about companies, professionals, organizations doing this critical work. You mentioned, you know, as the CEO here, I think a lot of life is about storytelling. A lot of my job is storytelling, but really so much of life is the stories you tell about yourself, stories you tell to others, others tell about you. And I think we don't have enough of that for behavioral mental health. There are 1.4 million psychology undergrads enrolled in US colleges today. And most of them don't go into, not just into career as a psychologist, but most of them don't pursue a profession in behavioral mental health. We've got, you know, people coming out with high school diplomas or equivalent. There are many tech roles that are needed in this space. It is a community of care. And a lot of times I think they just don't know. And some of the ones who end up in behavioral mental health end up in there for the wrong reason. Yeah. So if we can bring more people in, more qualified people in, more people in for the right reason, that's going to be the thing that solves that number one issue I cited before. Workforce is bringing more people, inspiring more people to end up in this field.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Yeah, I love that vision. You know, we're kind of rounding a corner here, and we've covered how the network has been developed for all behavioral and mental health professionals and its offerings. As you guys walk us through it. Oliver, if you would, walk us through how one signs up and what one can look like when they go on to become a member of this networking community.
Sure. So you go to hellotriad.com and you sign up. It's free. It's fast. We don't require that you give us a lot of information, just an email address. And then you'll see that you're right into the community. And depending on what time of day it is, there may be some night owls engaged. It might be the middle of the day. It doesn't really matter. There's always folks doing different things. But what I always encourage folks to do is introduce themselves. There's a one part of the community that says introduce yourself. And I just really think, given the nature of this industry, the connectiveness, the personal connections that people naturally want to have, I think we want to know about each other. And what I think you'll see is that when you say hello, you get a lot of hellos back. And I think that this is one of those things that I think will make people feel welcome. I think people will feel welcome. But I would encourage you, once you've signed up, to kind of keep an eye out for the next person that comes in. And then, you know, explore the various different groups or topics that are there and find people that you want to follow. I mean, it's familiar territory for many folks with regard to social networks, but I think we've tried to build some frameworks around the types of different groups and what we think people are interested in. So explore, and if there's something that you wish there was there, please tell us, because this is an evolving thing. And we want you to find this to be valuable, and we want you to tell friends about it, because we think that if you like it, they will like it too. And it should serve the entire population of mental health professionals and the care team effectively around the mental health delivery.
Yeah. For those of you listening in, it is a wonderful site to jump into, to navigate around, to see what's there, to consider becoming a part of and joining in. And it is a really, really exciting hub to be a part of, a community to participate in. Oliver, just as we kind of wind down, I'm curious, what's been maybe one of the most rewarding parts for you in creating this networking community?
I really like when people show up and they say, wow, that was really easy. And it was something that they didn't think they could actually do before, whether it was asking a question about some topic they're learning in school and they've got a bunch of professionals answering them about it, or even just the access that they have to mental health professionals, like between students and other students or students and other mental health professionals. I think also we're seeing folks from opposite sides of the country, the distance between them, you know, obviously the internet is what does this, but feeling like there's a safe place and a special place for them to be connected, and kind of seeing how folks from all over the place can really just find familiarity.
Yeah, really good.
So it's been rewarding. And then just hearing things like from our contacts saying, I just want to show up. And knowing that that is something that we can actually affect.
Really good.
It just feels great.
Really good. Brandon, you're an incredible visionary. And I mean that sincerely. What's been most fun for you as CEO, working with Oliver and the other talented Triad folks and developing this community resource?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think that the work that the people who we serve do is, I use this phrase sometimes, is capital G good. The work of providing care, focusing on those with mental illness and with mental wellness is really important work. We're not ourselves providing that direct care, but we are enabling people who do. So that part personally, professionally feels really good to me. I'll say something similar to what Oliver said, maybe framed a little differently. I think this can take the serendipity out of some moments that might need it otherwise. So I was in a test prep class, actually, listening to clinical social workers preparing for their exam. And there was a woman from LA and a woman from Scottsdale, Arizona, and a woman from Atlanta. And they just sort of happened at 5 minutes after class ended, an online class, to be talking about what their experiences were. And yeah, it seemed like I was sort of flying the wall. I'm sure if they knew I was there listening, but I was glad to be able to. And just sort of, they happened to be in a place where there were other people going through the same experience. And some of it was just, man, I wish the test wasn't like this in this way. Or, you know, hey, I found this other free resource. Did you check this out? I don't want it to have to be serendipitous. I want to have a place where people can come and find those connections and have those conversations and explore new interests professionally and personally. And that's going to feel really rewarding to me as that happens. So I love what our customers do, and I love what we do in being able to serve them. And you know, I hope we can continue to, in new and creative and friction-free and technology-forward ways, and continue to do more of it.
Well, it is certainly a great resource and a great community providing, and one that I know is going to continue to grow, because that's what we as practitioners are so looking for and needing, and having it be ease of use and kind of see us throughout our careers is really nicely done. Really nicely done. Brandon Oliver, thank you so much for being with us today on the show. It's been great to learn about the Triad Network, and excited for people to come into it. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Graham, and hope to see many of you listeners. See those of you who are behavioral mental health professionals, hope to see you there. Those of you who aren't, tell a friend.
I like that.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. And to those of you listening in today, I would so encourage you to check out hellotriad.com, both to further equip yourself as a professional and to join others of us for support and for encouragement. Thanks for listening in on our show. And we'll look forward to having you back with us next time on Behavior Health Today.
We appreciate all the support from our community. And if you like our show, one of the best ways you can support it is by giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Tribe Network, all rights reserved.